Hello, Eagle Creek Grace Bible. I miss you very much, and I want you to know that Pastor Tom and myself are praying for you, and I know that you're praying for each other. I hope and trust that you're healthy, that you're doing well, and I know God is providing. During these times, we can put our faith and trust in the Lord. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to be continuing to minister to you in many different ways, we hope. And I'll be sending you out an email sometime soon explaining some of those things. So be encouraged for that and be looking for that. You know, we're in our Blessed Life series. And if you're tuning in for the first time or you're seeing this for the first time and you don't attend EC Grace, I want to welcome you and thank you for being with us today. However, we are in a series called The Blessed Life. A series that's looking at the Lord's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I encourage you to go to ecgrace.org, look at this sermon series, The Blessed Life, and catch up. I believe you'll be blessed. You can see behind me that we are in an empty building today. The building is empty. That's for sure. It's obvious. You're not here. But not the church. The body of Christ is the church. And I know that God's going to continue to work through us, bless us, and use us for his glory. Though I'm saddened that we cannot fellowship together today, I'm looking forward, hopefully very soon, when we'll come back together and fellowship with one another, edifying each other, discipling one another, growing in the word, praising and worshiping God in song, and coming together. I know that's going to happen. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are gathered today as a family or individually, prepared to go to the Lord in worship, prepared to get into his word and see what he wants us to see today. Before we start, let's go to him right now in prayer together. Lord, I just pray right now that you will bless, that you will continue to provide, that you'll give us this day our daily bread. But Lord, we exalt you first. Hallowed be your name, as you said. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we trust you. We put our faith in you. Lord, I pray for our leaders. I pray for our nation. I pray for our communities and the communities throughout the world. Lord, let us learn what you'd have us learn through this. And Lord, I pray many will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. We say all these things, Lord, from our heart. We love you, we trust you, and we know that we can give you glory in all things with no anxiety or worry or fear. Lord, we pray all these things in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we are going to continue in the Blessed Life series this morning, looking at the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that has stood out to me, and I'm sure it's been very obvious to you, is just how simple and just how uncomplicated Jesus makes prayer. He's already told us that we do not have to go through all kinds of motions, that we don't have to do spiritual theatrics. We don't need to do arm twisting or long manipulating prayers to impress him. It is we who so often complicate prayer. We just need to speak quality words from the heart to our Father who is in heaven. Bottom line, we just need to talk to him. I love what Wesley Hill says in his remarks of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, God is your Father, and he is already favorably disposed towards you. Isaiah 62:24 tells us, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before we even call, the Lord knows our prayers. He knows our hearts. He already hears. I encourage you to go find a quiet place. It's kind of what Jesus is saying. Go find a quiet place and relax. Unclench your fist. Breathe deeply. Let your heart rate decrease. Know you're already bathed in the Father's love. Isn't that wonderful? And ask simply for what you need. We can ask simply for what we need and the assurance that the one to whom that you're speaking to is already cupping his ear towards you. That's what prayer should be. I love the fact that we can go to our Lord, our Father, our Abba Father, the Almighty God, and pray to him, that he knows what we need before we even pray, and he's ready to answer our call. This is a precious truth to keep in mind, especially when it comes to the next part of our Lord's prayer for us in these quality words, a model prayer for the believer, which is forgiveness. Psalm 86:5 tells us, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Praise God for that. Knowing that he is our Father in heaven, that we are exalting his name above all, that we desire his kingdom above all else, wanting his will to be done in our life, in heaven and on earth. Knowing he is the source of all our provision. We see today and know he is our Father who is ready to forgive us when we sin. This should be a great encouragement to you. It's a great encouragement to me. It comforts my heart, and I hope it does yours as well. So with that in mind, let's take a moment to read the text in this next part of our Lord's Prayer. Please turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 12, 14, and 15. While you're turning there, I look forward to next week's message when we go to the last part of the Lord's Prayer and then wrap up, what does it mean in totality? And forgive us our debts, verse 12, as we have also forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. This can be very complicated, especially in study. But today, let's just keep this simple and uncomplicated. We need to know concerning forgiveness, when we go to our Father in prayer, we should be as those who seek his forgiveness, expect that forgiveness, and extend his forgiveness. So first this morning, when we pray, we should come to our Father who is in heaven as those who seek forgiveness. This is the first time, everyone, that the word forgiveness appears in the New Testament, the very first time. And fittingly, it falls from the very lips of Jesus Christ, the very one who will pay for each and every sin with his own life, laid down willingly for you, laid down willingly for me. And I find it wonderful when we hear the word forgiveness mentioned for the first time, it comes from him. But as this time, but we know at this time Jesus has yet to pay for the sins on Calvary. But only he knew the full measure of the mercy and the grace, the love and the blood that would make forgiveness of sin possible. When he's saying this to us, he knows what he's about to do in the upcoming future for you and for me. We, however, now know the cost of God, that it cost God for forgiveness. But those disciples, when they heard it, they did not yet know the full price. How precious and how wonderful it ought to be to us when God talks to us about forgiveness, because we have the realization, the full story, the full picture of his love for us. We know that all of our sins have been forgiven, paid for by the blood of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what we're getting ready to look forward to as we come in a few weeks to look at Palm Sunday and Easter. This, then, I want you to know, is not the forgiveness we seek that leads to salvation. That's not what Jesus is speaking about. We do not pray daily for our salvation. We know in justification, when we pray and we give our life to Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, the only life, who laid down his life for us, that the moment we receive him as our Lord and Savior and put our faith and trust in him, we know that we're justified in our faith, that we're saved, and that we're saved for eternity. We know that we become these very kingdom citizens that Jesus is speaking to. Praise God for that. So Jesus is speaking of seeking forgiveness for the sins we commit daily as saved children within the family of our Father. Remember the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. He is your personal Father. We saw that true kingdom citizens are characterized by the Beatitudes. Remember that when we started this series? What does a true kingdom citizen do? They mourn over sin, and they hunger and thirst for righteousness, which indicates that we have not yet arrived at sinlessness. We have not yet arrived at perfect righteousness. When we mourn over sin, we know we haven't arrived because we sin. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we know we haven't arrived yet because we're still hungering and thirsting in that pursuit. We pray that thy will be done, which arouses in the honest and humble heart the realization that we have often fallen short of his perfect will. We know this all too well. We know all too well that we fail. We know all too well that we need God's forgiveness. We know all too well that at times we don't hunger and thirst for his righteousness, and that we need his will over ours in our life. But notice something here in the text. This begins with the word and, meaning that as much as we need our daily bread, especially today, as much as we are praying for our provision, we also need the daily forgiveness of our sins. In fact, daily seeking forgiveness of our sins is the true mark and measure of the believer who's walking in the light. One litmus test you know in your life, if you're walking properly with the Lord, is your daily seeking this forgiveness. We're told by John in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. Jesus said in John 3:20 that the man in the world hates the light, because his deeds will be exposed for the very sins that they are. But as born-again believers, as we walk in the light, as we are his lights in the world, when our sins are exposed through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, whether that be through the reading of the Word or in our prayer time, we do not hate the light. We do not hate the exposure, but rather we grieve and we mourn over sin, that if it has been exposed, that we flee to the Lord for forgiveness, that we flee to our Father and seek it. For we know that sin grieves him, and we know that sin impairs our fellowship with him. Therefore, Jesus is basically telling us, keep short accounts with the Father. Keep short accounts with God each and every day. We need to make it a habit in our daily prayers to honestly and sincerely examine our lives, to examine our hearts, and then ask God to forgive us of any sin that we might have done. That we don't want to grieve him at all, that sin mourns us as we look at what he's done for us in his love. We need to be committed to that on a daily basis. David said this of sin in Psalm 101:3, it shall not fasten its grip on. Imagine that. This should be our same determination. The sin has no grip on us in our life. The longer we let sin hang around in our life, the longer it lingers and the tighter its grasp becomes. And I think maybe we might go a second step. Maybe we call it the David step. Ask God to examine you. This is when you know you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What do we ask God to examine in our life? When you take this David step and you ask this of our Father, then maybe you know, hey, this is my true heart desire. Often when we pray things that I'm about to share with you, God will come swiftly and answer that prayer. David says in this David step, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Is this what you're asking God to do in your life? Is this daily confession of sin? Search me, O God. See if there's any hurtful way in me. Lead me in your way. Your will be done in my life. Your kingdom be done in my life. I want to serve you and you only. Such daily confessions and forgiveness will make us more aware of our sins. They'll make us more in tune with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. And that daily sensitivity to our sins will act as a safeguard for you. It will be a safeguard to me against the power of sin in our life. And we see that in the communion service and the foot washing. I want to be rid of the power of sin in my life. And Lord, daily, let me mourn over that sin. Search me, expose any way in me. And Lord, please forgive me of my sins. So when we pray, we should come to our Father as those who seek his forgiveness. Next, I love this. We should come as to our Father in prayer as those who expect forgiveness. Do you expect God's forgiveness? Certainly with this call to seek forgiveness, there is the implied promise that you will receive it when you ask for it. We see throughout the Bible that you will find forgiveness for any sins you have committed. And what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful forgiveness from God. You see, this word forgive means to send away, to set free, to let go. When God forgives us our sins, they're gone. They are cast away, never to be brought up again. What amazing mercy and grace this is. What type of love could do this? You see, this is so important that God uses many word pictures to drive that home to our doubting and our unbelieving hearts. So too often we hear this, and we may even be tempted to believe it ourselves, that God will not forgive because how could he forgive this? I cannot see how he could forgive something I've done in the past. No one would forgive like that. Mankind won't forgive like that. We expect a payment must be given, or judgment, or justice must be done. We can become so cynical in our frailty, in our sin natures, and seeing what's going on in the world, that we do not understand the forgiveness that God gives, because we can't see how that would be possible. And then there are the difficulties that we have with forgiving others who have sinned against us. None of this should color or cloud our view of God's capacity to forgive. His capacity to forgive is unending. There are many pictures of this, but let's look at a few to encourage our hearts. I love God, how God uses words to picture for us and meaning of what he means about forgiving us of our sins. You know this well, Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise God. Travel as far as you want to the east, and you will never meet west. You know this. God takes away our forgiven sins as far as possible, as far away from us as we could ever imagine. And he creates an illustration for us that shows us the impossibility of measuring the distance between east and west. You could put all your sins on a modern rocket and shoot them into the outer space and never match this description. It's eternal. We are told in Micah 7, 18 through 19, who is a God like you? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Think of this word picture to those of that day. They had no deep sea diving equipment. They had no submarines. They had no sonars. They couldn't measure the depths of the ocean floor. What was tossed into the depths of the sea then stayed in the depths of the sea permanently, gone forever. Isaiah 38:17 says, "You have cast all my sins behind your back." We speak of people who have an eyes in the back of their head, right? But we know no one does. When God forgives, he tosses our sins behind his back, meaning he will see them no more. He will see them no more. To God, it's as if they had never happened. Of course, Satan likes to deceive us, discourage us, demoralize us, to keep our sins and our failures ever present before our eyes. Yet God says, I will see them no more. I toss them behind my back. In Acts 3:19, we are told, repent, that your sins may be wiped away or wiped out. The word means to blot out, to obliterate, to erase. Are you thankful that God blots out, obliterates, and erases our sins? Today, what can we do with our modern technology? Right now, if we wanted to, we could stop this video and delete it and start again. We could hit the delete button on our computers and everything is gone in an instant. Perhaps you've done that by mistake and moaned over the loss of your work. I can remember 6 or 7 months ago working many hours on a PowerPoint only to delete it by mistake and could not find it again. I moaned over that. Gone. Erased. But not in biblical days when you think of this. We have very smart people today who can go deep into your hard drive and retrieve things you thought were long gone. But in biblical days, when men wrote on clay tablets or they wanted to erase something, they just drew their stylus over the tablet and it was gone. They understood what Jesus meant. They understood what the Word of God meant. Listen up, my friends. I want you to take this encouragement. No one will retrieve what God wipes out. No one will retrieve what God wipes out when he forgives us of our sins. Jeremiah 31:24 says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. God forgives and God chooses to forgive. But let's understand something. Of course, this does not mean that God cannot recall our sins. And he certainly does. He recalls and recounts and records for us the many sins of those he has forgiven. Take David, for instance. God is obviously aware of their sins, and he is obviously aware of our sins even after he has forgiven us. But this Hebrew word for remember means more than just to recall the past. It means more than just I recall what you've done. It means to take an appropriate action. Do you remember Samson? When Samson was blinded, when he was near the end of his life and at the end of his life, he stood between those two pillars and he cried out, God, remember me. He wasn't just asking in that word remember for God to recall him. He wanted God to do more than just recall him. He wanted God to take an appropriate action and strengthen him, which God did. So what does this mean? Praise the Lord, it means that at no time ever in the future will God act against you for forgiven sin. No time in the future will he choose to go back, recall that sin, and hold you accountable for it. He will have forgiven you. When you know these things, you will never say when facing adversity, God is punishing me for my past sins. God is punishing me for what I did 10 years ago that he's forgiven me for. If he has forgiven you, he has forgotten them by choice. Of course, let's be clear. This does not mean that God shields us from the natural consequences of our sins. Let's look at Matthew 6, 12 again. He goes on to say, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Here in this passage, sin is likened to a debt, forgiving us our debts. We know sin is a debt, for the wages of sin is death. It's a debt that we have to pay. A debt means to owe. So when our Father forgives, what he's really doing is he's canceling a debt that would otherwise be owed to him. How would you like to have canceled over all your debts? I know we all would. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and you forgave me. You know, we have a wonderful God, the one true God who loves us and who is ready to forgive us. When we honestly humble and acknowledge and confess our sins to God, he will forgive you. He will forgive me. It makes no matter how serious the sin or what you've done. He paid that price already, and he's ready to forgive. You see, God's desire and capacity to forgive is beyond anything that we can imagine. Listen to our Lord's reasoning in Isaiah 1:18 and listen to his heart. He says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Scarlet and crimson, we know, are red. They color fast and they stain. It's almost impossible to remove without leaving a stain left behind. But what we cannot remove, God can. God can remove any stain of sin and make it white as snow. We don't have to go through life bearing the stain of sin. We can thank God that we can be blemish free. I thank him for that. So when we pray, we should come to our Father as those who seek forgiveness. We should come to our Father as those who expect forgiveness. And finally, we should come to our Father as those who extend forgiveness. Matthew 6:12 at the end says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does this mean? Jesus writes it in a way as an expectation. He's already explained the character traits or the qualities of the believer, knowing that when we pray to our Father in heaven for forgiveness, we are going to be like him, and we already are going to be extending that forgiveness towards others. That we have made it a practice as kingdom citizens to be forgiving as the Lord is forgiving towards us. Jesus said this in Luke 11:4, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. There's that same word. I spent some time this morning showing you the wondrous forgiveness we can expect from God. And I am so thankful for that. When we honestly and humbly seek it, we will have it. But we spent some time there this morning in order to remind us again that we should never hold back forgiveness to those who seek it from us. You know, another beatitude that we saw early on as a kingdom citizen, a beatitude that describes you, that describes me, is blessed are the merciful, back in Matthew 5:7. So we as his children are to imitate the mercy, imitate the loving kindness, imitate the forgiveness we have been shown towards other people, towards our brother and sister, towards humanity, to those who ask us for forgiveness. The Apostle Paul, he exhorted the church in Ephesus and us today in Ephesians 4:32. He said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be kind towards one another, tender-hearted, ongoing forgiving. He further tells us in Colossians chapter 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. These are wonderful truths and wonderful words for the blessed life believer who is experiencing this ongoing daily forgiveness in our communion with the Lord. See, the issue of forgiveness of others is very important to God, and it should be very important to us. That Jesus elaborates on it in verses 14 and 15. Let's look at those verses to see how important it is. He says, "For if you forgive others for their transgression, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." That's a very clear statement. Jesus could not be any plainer. He could not be any more explicit in that. He's saying God will not forgive you of your sins when you ask. If you're unforgiving towards a brother, unforgiving towards a sister, unforgiving towards someone else. You see, remember, we're not speaking about salvation forgiveness. We're speaking about something else. Let's call it fellowship forgiveness. It's this daily fellowship in the Lord is broken. Remember, He's our Father. So it's not that God's not going to forgive you of your sins and you lose your salvation. It's that He's saying there's a broken relationship between you and I. I will not forgive you of those sins and restore that relationship with you until you are like me and forgive someone else. We have to ask ourselves, is unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, holding grudges, revenge, is it worth it? Is it worth forfeiting your communion and your fellowship with the Father? Is your unforgiveness worth the loss of power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it worth the peace that is taken away? The peace that you have of not with God, but of God. See, you're already at peace with Him. But this peace of Him is daily. And that is what we want. That is what we seek. That is what we yearn for. And part of asking God to forgive us of our sins is keeping that short account, but the expectation is that we're extending that towards others. I cannot believe that it would be worth the damage to our heart or our continued unbroken relationship with the Lord. Therefore, the only answer to those questions is no way. That price would be too high. There is nothing worth a broken fellowship with our Father. Nothing at all. In fact, the more in tune we are with Him, the more we pray these quality words of prayer in our life, the more that we are seeking this daily forgiveness, the more we'll be led by the Spirit. The more we will treat others the way we've been treated by our Lord. So the answer is just forgive. Be like the Lord. Forgive like you have been forgiven by the Father. Freely forgive, extend it, genuinely, with finality. With finality. When you forgive, send it away. Let it go. Drop it. Cast it behind your back. Don't go diving into the sea to pull up that sin again. Don't turn around to gather up that sin you said you threw behind your back. Don't say you canceled the debt, but now I want payment. Don't remember and relive old hurts. Give them to God. Forgive them. Restore those relationships so that you can be just like Christ as He was towards you, as He is towards me. The reason we do this is because by His grace and His mercy, the Father does not do that towards us. We've seen what He does. He casts our sins away into the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west. He casts them behind His back and remembers them no more. Therefore, He won't hold us accountable for them. I want to encourage you today that when we keep a short accounts with the Father, when we mourn over our sin, when we hunger and thirst for this righteousness that He gives, we will allow the Spirit through His power to move us more and more and mold us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Our personal lives will show it. Our relationship with Jesus will show it. And others will see it. When we are so in tune with Him that we forgive others as we have been forgiven, God will bless us abundantly in the blessed life He's called us to. and we will be his lights in the world. We will be shining for him. We'll be his testimony. We will be pointing people to the same forgiveness that we have received by God's great love. Let's praise and thank God today. Let's praise and thank him for his loving forgiveness that we received from him. This forgiveness that wiped away our sins eternally and daily wipes them away in our fellowship with Jesus. So I encourage you to daily seek in communion with your Father as you communicate these words of quality in your prayers from the heart, that you confess your sins before him, that you demonstrate your hunger and your thirst for righteousness, that you demonstrate your mourning over sin, that it will be a real sincere heart attitude as your deepest desire is to be in communion with him. Perhaps today you need to ask forgiveness for your unforgiving heart. Perhaps you need to ask forgiveness for your own sins. I tell you, just like Jesus says, your Father is ready to forgive. Praise the Lord for that. If you're here with me right now, and you have never asked the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to share something with you today. Did you know that forgiveness is there freely for you as well? The Bible teaches and tells us that all mankind has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. And it says when we sin, we are separated from God, who is holy, who is just, who is perfect, who knows no sin. And because of this, sin brought death into the world, and something must be paid. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, it's not hopeless. It's not a done deal. Right now, there's still time for you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because no matter what you do, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. That debt is so large it could never be paid off by you. We know that salvation is by grace and not by works. So Jesus did something. He obeyed the Father. God sent Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, here for you to do what you and I could never do. He did the impossible for humanity. He lived a sinless life. He fulfilled every bit of the law, and he said, I came to seek and save the lost. He's here right now today. He's saying to you, accept me, believe me, I love you. I paid the price for your sin. If you'll only believe in me and put your faith and trust in me as your Lord and Savior, if you'll accept what I've done on your behalf, if you'll follow me, I will be your Lord. I will bring you from death to life, and I will give you eternal life. You see, for the believer, we can seek this forgiveness on a daily basis in communion with the Lord. But if you don't know him, you need that salvation forgiveness where God paid that price for your sin once and for all and give it to him, and he'll freely forgive you. We can all be encouraged in this. In Psalm 32:1, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We can take great joy today that we can go to our Lord and Father with no priest, with no intercessory, for that's the Lord Jesus Christ who intercedes on our behalf with the Holy Spirit. And we can say, Father, hallowed be your name. We can say, Father, your kingdom come, because we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Your will be done, because he knows what's best for us. Give us this day our daily bread, because we know he's the source of all provision. And we can say, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and receive that forgiveness. Keep short accounts with the Lord. I want to give him glory and praise today. I miss you here. I look forward to seeing you soon. Please keep following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our social media. This Wednesday, we'll have another video posted for you on how we can have peace in any storm. I want to encourage you today to ask the Lord to search your heart in any way, and go to him today knowing that he is your loving Father who freely provides for you, freely loves you, and freely forgives you. And we do all this in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll be talking soon.